Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. Oh, what a beautiful day to live in Wisconsin, thank God. I don't mind saying this into the ground. Thank God there's a roof at Miller Park.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know it's been 15 years. And I know it's said every time there's bad weather, but it should be said every time there's bad weather. Thank God there's a roof at Miller Park.
Well, some of these teams should be calling Milwaukee to see if they can make up some of these games here, like Minnesota, the Twins.
Yeah, they should have hosted a series this weekend.
Yeah, they should have came down here and played the
what the hell?
The White Sox. Was it the White Sox who were up there? Was it the White Sox and Twins? I think it was the White Sox and Twins that were canceled. Saturday. They should have came down here and played.
Yeah, weather took three or four in that series.
Yeah,
we're joined by Adam McAlvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider, Brewers.com. MLB.com. It was nice in New York to start, and then weather got kind of rough there too, Adam.
Yeah, by Saturday game time, it was frigid. But got the game in yesterday. It rained all night. I'm still there. I'm heading to the airport now. And it is like a pouring rain here. So
well, it's pouring snow here, so good luck.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, stay hot. Look, one of you guys is sitting at a computer. How many games have the Twins played? Have they played 10 games?
The Twins have a record of 7-4, 11.
And how many of the Brewers have played, what?
16.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's going to come back around. I mean, that's going to be a challenge for some of these clubs that have missed games early. You've got to play them, and it's going to mean doubleheaders are going to lose off days in the middle of the season. Now, this season they have extra off days baked in. That's why we had that weird Thursday start. But it's going to be a challenge for those pitching staffs. And I guess, you chalk it up to the things the Brewers are fortunate so far. I think Ryan Braun said on that last homestand, they're fortunate to have the record that they do. I think they're also fortunate to have gotten in the games they've gotten in and not have to deal with that, partly because of the roof.
Okay. What can be done in baseball, if anything, maybe in the next collective bargaining agreement? I don't know. I mean, because these players do not want to play in 35 degree temperatures. I don't think it's good for baseball to be playing in that. It's just, you're not going to see great ball at all. And the fans certainly don't want to sit through that. What could be done?
Well, the argument is always that you want it to be a fair and equal schedule. And if you have the Brewers and Angels and Padres and Dodgers and Astros and Rays playing a ton of home games early and then theoretically a ton of road games late, it creates some competitive imbalances. That's like the theoretical argument. I don't know that many of the players involved would really go for that. I think they would rather just play the games, and I'm not sure. I mean, teams are better at home, so it's not a non-factor. But I think most of the players, if you polled them, would stack a lot of as many of these games in domes and warm weather venues as we can early, especially very early, the first 2 weeks of the season, and then do the best we can to even it out after that.
Adam McAlvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Brewers do get all their games in over the weekend. They dropped 2 of 3 to the Mets. I saw that there was a lot of discussion Saturday night over pulling Chase Anderson after 87 pitches. Now, it was the seventh inning, and the Brewers, won the game. Jeffress got in, gave up a hit, but then the double play. Hader, a great 2 innings of work from him. I don't know if I'm as I don't really understand. I mean, I don't understand why there's so much, like, anger. Chase threw 87 pitches. He was going fine, but he got you to the seventh inning. Take him out and let your bullpen do the work. But there seemed to be a lot of people upset that Chase should have been able to finish that inning, I guess.
Well, instead of me talking, not to stereotype your fine partner there, but Chuck, what do you think about this?
No, I just think that he needs to have his innings limited early in the season, too. Now you're going to tax the bullpen. I always like to say don't ruin a good thing with the relievers, but I was okay with him coming out of the game and turning it over the bullpen. You looked like you had a comfortable lead at that point, and you know the Mets weren't doing anything offensively anyway.
Because it was a seventh inning. Right. Like, if he would have thrown one or two more, you know, balls that got fouled off, or one or two more balls, he's up to 91, 92 pitches. I just think that for whatever reason, 87 looks so much less than 92.
Well, I shouldn't stereotype Chuck because I thought he was going to be in the mold of let your starter go as long as you possibly can, and that's the barrier here is the barrier between the thinking of your starter needs to give you as much as he can and trust your starter. That's like the way we've always thought about starting pitching. That is not the way these teams that are driven by analytics think about starting pitching. It all for them, and you hear counsel, and you heard it in this instance. They work backwards from the end of the game, and they say, what is the point at which I can line up relief outs to get me to the third out of the ninth inning? And that's how they make the decision of when they move their starter. And it's going to happen earlier. If it irritates you, you're going to be irritated by this team this year because they are one of the clubs, and this happened last year in a lot of instances for Anderson and Davies in particular, it seems, they are going to go to the pen as early as they can because the data says that is a better way to get outs and win baseball games. That gives you a better chance of holding the lead you've got than this old mentality of trust your starter. Now, what's the effect on starting, how does that affect the mindset of your starter, the confidence of your starter, that he's no longer given these opportunities that a guy in his position used to be given? Now, I don't know. I don't know that we're ever going to reverse this unless some club just goes totally old school. Unless you're Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale, David Price, that is not the way you're going to be handled as a starting pitcher.
I've been talking about a conversation that Council had with you. It was in the dugout a couple weeks ago. You guys were talking more about the bullpen and the initial out-getters and stuff like that. Now, me being who I am, I've been saying that I had a conversation with Craig before I finally admitted I was just eavesdropping on you and Council. But he seemed to... I got the impression that if the Brewers were in the American League and they didn't have to worry about the pitching spot coming up, there would be these guys getting 2-3 innings consistently like a team like the Astros did, especially in the playoffs. And one thing that Council said was just because it's always been done a certain way doesn't mean you have to keep doing it a certain way. And so I was not surprised, maybe because I had heard that conversation with you and Craig, and I know how important he thinks the bullpen is, so I wasn't surprised to see Chase out after 87.
Yeah, and look, it's a different way of doing it. It's a different way of thinking about what starting pitching is and what the bullpen is, and this is the way they're going to do it. It's like, in the playoffs you can do this easily because you play two games travel day. Or three games, you know what I mean. You play a couple of games and then there's a day off, and it's a lot easier. Your starter goes four, and then you piece together bullpen from there, and you're great. In a regular season, you can't do that because there's just too many games. And even if you have guys with options in the pen and you're up and down, you still need some innings from your initial outgetters. But it's like, which team can tightrope, can walk that tightrope the closest is going to be the team that maybe has the most success. In other words, the team that can put together a good bullpen, number one, because let's not forget that that's key to this, is having good options out there. And who can get to them the earliest keep them healthy and effective and not burn them out, that's the team that's going to probably have a good pitching staff.
See, the
unless you're a team that has just a bunch of really good starting pitchers, and then you're not thinking about it this way. The Brewers Chase Anderson is fantastic over the last, going on two seasons now. Beyond that, they're cobbling together a starting rotation a different way.
Yeah, the problem with Chase later in the season, if that's a 2-1 game, I want Chase continuing to go out there.
I think that's August, maybe it's different.
Yeah, and the weather's better and all that. But as a result of him only pitching 7, he had to cover Hader 2 innings. Which, I'm fine with, but you're not going to have him the next day then.
Yeah, which is another real tightrope that they're walking.
Yeah.
Is how much and how often can they use Hader? Because you guys probably saw some of the numbers I shared yesterday, and our friend Mike Vassallo Josh Hader was fifth in the National League in strikeouts before Syndergaard took them on yesterday and passed them in less than 10 innings. It's sort of insane fun with numbers at this point. It's probably not sustainable at this rate, but they're not going to change this. They're not going to make him a starter. They're not going to make him the closer right now. If you're pining for one of those things again, you're going to be disappointed. They want him in this super flexible multi-inning role where they can use him as a weapon at the right spot in the lineup for multi-innings. And I think that's exactly what they're going to continue to do.
All right, a couple of injury notes here. And by the way, the thing I started, Syndergaard, I was happy to see him go because I was watching his pitch count the whole game. And, he was pitching so good, but he ran to a high pitch count. And they weren't going to pitch him past 100 pitches yesterday. So
yeah,
when they took it, he hit the Aguilar and they got him out of there. But, the old school way of thinking, many years ago would have been he's going to pitch through the sixth inning. We're not going to pull him just yet. So, but anyway, as far as injuries, what's going on with Braun? Going on with Thames?
And Yelich.
Yelich, too.
Day to day is the three words of the day. All those guys are sort of imminently ready to return, and the question is how long they can keep going with so many guys in this day to day status. Pena is really close.
Another guy.
Ryan Braun obviously pinch hit yesterday, so he was available. Yelich, could have come off the DL Sunday again if it were later in the season, so he's really close. And then I don't know exactly about Eric Thames. We'll need more information today. So none of these things are serious. They're just all happening at the same time, and it left Craig Counsell in a bad position yesterday where he had to bat his pitcher in a run-scoring opportunity in the fifth inning of a game against Noah Syndergaard, and it looked weird. That's the kindest way you can put it, I think. So they said they need to just make maybe some more permanent decisions with at least one of these guys just to get a healthy bat up. We'll see if they do that or whether, say, Pena and Ryan Braun are back in the lineup today. They're just going to have to make a call on that because going with four guys in sort of day-to-day status is not feasible.
Is it possible Broxton could get called up here?
Possible, yeah. He's been great. If it's a DL thing, you could also bring back Phillips because he's, replacing a guy who's injured, so he wouldn't have to follow the rule where you have to stay in the minors for 10 days.
Okay.
So we'll see. Or it might just be they're confident that these guys are ready to come back soon, and you don't need to make a move, and you get your main guys back for a homestand against a couple of teams you should beat.
Yeah, I feel Counsell has no confidence in Chacin these days. He was lucky to get up through 4 innings, and that was it.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say that. He's definitely a guy that they're making these early calls to the pen to, and they're not going to push him past. At this point, they're not going to push him far past twice through the order. The slider has been a lot better. Chacin seems pretty confident in the pitch. That's his pitch. And if he has confidence in that and can throw that, he's going to be better. I think he's going to be better. He says he's a slow starter. The numbers aren't that bad in his career in April, but he says April is never good for him. And look, it's a 2-year deal, so he's going to get opportunities.
Safe travels back, bud. Hopefully you're here by first pitch.
All right, see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll see. If I'm not, write something for Brewers.com.
Oh, sure.
Oh, give me the passwords. We're good.
I was almost late today, so if that ever happens, you can come in and
we'll co-pen something.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to come back and do MLB Network at that show starts at 1. I land 15 minutes before 1:45 I land. Theoretically.
No, you're not, it's not happening.
Well, we could fill in for
we'll
that.
We'll do that.
We can do that
too. We'll go to the park and do that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
What are you on with Russo?
The article. Hell with the article. We'll do the TV stuff for you.
What's that?
All right. You two knuckleheads standing there on camera would be great.
Oh, with Russo, with that guy? Are you going to be on with
Russo? No, it's later. It's the
Mad
show,
Dog?
The Rundown.
Oh,
the
I'd love to be on Mad Dog.
Show after that, yeah.
In the Rundown with our boy from the Facebook game?
Who?
Braun? Yeah, Scott Braun?
Yep.
Oh, is that who does it? Scott Braun.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he name dropped the fan during the Facebook broadcast. We're tight now.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I remember. Yes, I heard about
that. Yeah, I kind of begged him to do it.
Yeah, well. You can meet him face to face.
All right, so we'd be at the park at 1.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Got to take a shower first.
Yeah. All right. Adam, we'll see you. Good luck.
Got to put those good clothes on.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction, or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank. Committed to providing uniquely tailored, common sense mortgage products since 1935.
Yeah, I was looking at Bart's Bets. The ones that you and I make. I got a little thing I kept for Bart's Bets.
Oh, good.
We missed one.
What?
That you lost to me.
Oh, no. What?
Nick Franklin. I gave you 5-1 odds making the opening day roster. We bet $5 on it.
Okay, so you only owe me 20 now.
Yes.
Okay.
We have another one we haven't talked about.
What's that?
You bet me 10. I gave you 25-1 odds that the Bucks win the East.
Oh, how much did I bet on that?
$10.
Okay. All right, good. Thanks for the reminder.
We made it February 7th at 11:22 in the morning on Bill Michaels' show.
So oh, wow.
I thought we had not made a bet before on Bill's show, but we had made this one on Bill's show.
Every time I go on that show, it's a very costly endeavor for me. Chuck and Winkler, we're served up by Perkins. All right. I don't know if people are aware of this, and so I'm excited to tell you. We have the opportunity for you to go to Game 3 at the Bradley Center Friday night.
Playoff game.
Playoff game. Game 3, Friday night. But there's a very, very, very big catch. And I know it's going to detract a lot of you from signing up.
Game's almost a sellout.
I know, but we've got tickets for you with a giant catch. We'll tell you how you can win and what the catch is next. Chuck and Winkler from the Bright and Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart. That's Chuck. Cody Grant, our producer, as well. Coming up, the Bucks have some adjustments to make from Game 1 to Game 2. We'll talk about that with you guys. We'll want to hear your thoughts in just a couple of minutes. But after Game 2 will be Game 3 as the series returns home to Milwaukee. Now, the game on Friday night, a late one, 8:30. And we've got a pair of tickets for you guys. To win. So you can go to the Bucks game. It's nearly a sellout, but we've still got a pair of tickets left. You sign up at 1057fmthefan.com. It's very easy. You just enter an email and some quick info, and then you're registered to win, and we'll name a winner Thursday. Sounds pretty great, yeah? There's one big catch. Because if you go to the Bucks game Friday night, you get a pair of tickets, you're going to the Bucks game with me.
Really?
With me.
So, where are you sitting?
We're sitting first level somewhere. I believe it'll be, typically when we get seats like this for contests like this, it's close to one of the hoops, but like, it's one of the good seats.
Wow. Okay.
So, like the 20-yard line, let's say. Something like that.
Well, I mean, you're in the building, no matter what. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but then we're not going to stick you in the nosebleeds.
No,
these are good seats, and you'll go to the game with me. So
okay.
And it's not only going to be just me. I'm bringing my wife, so you can either bring your wife or your dad or your son or whatever. We have a pair of tickets to give away, but the catch is you're going with me. So for some of you, maybe you want to. For some of you, you started entering the tickets, and now you have deleted that form. But if you want Bucks tickets Friday night, you're going to the game with me.
So is it just the game, or is it beers before, breakfast before?
No, I
breakfast
think...
Breakfast after?
I think we'll go to the game.
Yeah.
I would not be opposed to maybe buying a round of beer.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that. I'd be good for that. It's not going to be like a dinner meet or anything like that.
Yeah.
But you'll get tickets to the game, and you'll go with me.
Okay. That's fair enough.
So
I mean, the tickets are good seats, sounds like. I mean, they're expensive to get in.
I believe they're valued around $90 a pop.
Okay, probably valued about $150 on the websites.
Yeah, if you try to go secondhand, yeah, it's going to be very expensive. So there you go. You can go to the Bucks game Friday. You're going with me.
Yeah.
Sign up at 1057fmthefan.com.
And I'll say this, going to a playoff game, if somebody's never been to a playoff game, it's a much different atmosphere than going to Bucks and Celtics in February.
Yeah.
It's just
insane. Well, even watching the game Sunday.
It is.
It was different. Every play means so much more.
But I mean, the atmosphere in the building.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a great time. So especially if you've never been, I'll be a great person to go with. Trust me, we'll have a good time. That's Friday night. You can also win tickets to Saturday's Brewer game by tweeting us at 1057 FM, the fan. The worst thing about this snowstorm, in your opinion, Chuck, we couldn't help ourselves. It was a busy weekend.
Yeah.
Brewers, Bucks, NBA, lots to talk about, but we just had to get it off our chest to start the show, all the things that we hated about this snowstorm, and you can do the same. I didn't like the fact that I opened my trunk this morning and couldn't close it because ice had formed. So then I had to jimmy away to keep my door shut with bungee cords in my passenger door. Exits were closed on the way here. It was probably, I drove home yesterday too from up north, Fond du Lac, but it was a tougher drive this morning than it was last night for me. So that's my complaint.
Well, mine is that it just delays the golf season. I mean, if it's going to continue to snow like this, we won't be able to golf until maybe our golf outing in August, maybe, if that's even possible. But it just delays the start of the golf season. It sucks because, you know, golfing in 55-degree weather isn't the most fun thing to do in the world. But I'd rather be out there golfing and have a shot and be starting the leagues and going out there on weekends and having to sit through this. I mean, just the delays getting yourself into a groove for when June and July get here that you're ready to play some good golf.
I bet I can guess what Cody's biggest complaint about the snowstorm is, Cody.
Yeah, what's that?
That your car got stuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened there?
It was stuck on a snowbank. So I park on the street in downtown Milwaukee, right on the east side.
I thought that you couldn't park in the street last night. Didn't they have the regulations?
No. I mean, I was there. Like, I had nowhere else to park. Okay. I have to park somewhere.
Yeah.
They didn't have any regulations last night?
I thought they had the
parking
thing.
I don't know. I got
a
ticket.
Thing,
but I mean, the ticket is crumpled and broken pretty much.
Well, then there's probably a regulation.
Yeah, a regulation.
But, you know, I didn't see the ticket technically, so I don't know if I actually have to pay it.
And I hate these regulations, too.
What do you mean you didn't see it?
I mean, it was like kind of there, but kind of not. Like, there was a little piece of it, you know?
They'll come
so
at
where
you.
Is it now?
I mean, it's definitely not on my car anymore, that's for sure.
Well, here's what
you
happens.
You can't just throw a ticket on the ground and
not
pay
because
it.
what they'll do is they'll, like, in a couple of weeks, they'll send you one and they'll up the price.
Yeah. No, I'll go online later today. Yeah. But, no, I was, there's this huge snowbank, and, you know, I've had in the past where I've had that snowbank, but, you know, three or four tries of reversing and forwarding, I've been able to get out. It did not work this morning, and I have a shovel in the back seat of my car.
Smart.
And the first attempt I made to shovel some snow out of my front tires, the shovel broke. So then I'm thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do now? I went back in my car, spent about 10 minutes going back and forth trying to get out. I made some progress, but not a lot. So then I realized I had my golf clubs in the back, so I grabbed the sand wedge.
Oh, no.
And I started picking the ice away at the sand wedge. So I'm just out there with the golf clubs just swinging. And finally, like after
so you can golf this
why
weekend.
Why are golf clubs at the car?
Oh, they're always in my car. I'm always ready to go.
I mean, 12 months a year they're there?
12 months a year.
Okay.
Yeah. And finally,
the balls are probably ruined by now, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, those are frozen for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you get some steam. If you keep them cold, it's just not good for the balls.
Finally, someone drove by and he saw me swinging my golf club at my tires in my car and he said, hey, you need some help? I said, absolutely I do. And he gave me his steel shovel and that worked just fine.
You should also keep kitty litter in your car.
Oh, yeah,
gotta
no.
Gotta hate the smell of it.
But
kitty
it helps with the traction of the tires.
I hate cats in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, cats are terrible.
Well, at least you made it in, Rhodes. I got your message. You were trying to call me this morning.
Yeah.
But you got in.
So I'm okay. I got in safely.
Well, it's been a hectic morning for a lot of people.
And it's still snowing.
Weekend. Got a couple of tweets here. Again, your complaint about the snowstorm at 1057FM, the fan, hashtag CW tickets. Josh says, went to shovel the driveway yesterday, but quit after 20 minutes of shoveling off layers of snow and ice, looked at the weather and hoped for sunshine to melt soon. woke up to the very minimal progress I made, and it was all covered with snow again. So he banked on the sun, and then he got more snow. Charles says, the worst part of the storm for me, I waited all year for this playoff game. Saturday at 8, I get a call from the city that said, I have to report to work Sunday from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. So he works for the city, for this playoff game, but had to be out on the roads. Charles, we thank you for being what must have been the one person on the roads, because they are always terrible. The roads were terrible this morning.
Well, they were. But
I'm constantly surprised by the apathy the county and the city have towards bad roads.
But they're out there. I see them out there. I don't know if the Salters are doing any good, though. Because I always seem like I'm driving behind one.
Yeah.
On 41.
Well, so, 41, on your drive.
No. I mean, 41 as you're going, like, get by Mayfair there. I feel like I'm always behind one. But, of course, you got to deal with construction there, the never-ending construction. But there's also, like, a Salter always seems to be right in front of me.
Eric says, guys, I like the snow. I got to make a snowman with my kids, and I used that time stuck inside to get my taxes done. Well, good thing it snowed. They were due yesterday.
No, they weren't.
They're due yet? Oh.
No.
Because it's a Monday.
Tomorrow.
Why aren't they due today then?
I don't know. I think because it's a weekend, they give you an extra day. So tomorrow. I believe tomorrow's tax day.
He said, my biggest complaint is people who complain about it. We live in Wisconsin. It's April 16th, man.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, I mean, a little dusting of snow, that's one thing. Like we had a couple of weeks ago. But, geez, a snowstorm like this with the ice pellets?
Yeah.
This is one of the, and like up in Green Bay, it's one of the worst snowstorms they've ever had up in Green Bay. And we're talking Green Bay, where, you know, we think of the frozen tundra. It's the second worst snowstorm they've ever had.
Yeah, the Packers canceled their workouts today. The guys were supposed to be coming back for off-season workouts to begin, and the Packers actually did tweet out a picture of what it looks like outside Lambeau Field about an hour ago, and it's a whiteout. The roads are covered in snow, there's no cars, and it's just a whiteout. And I tweeted back, I said, hey, you might want to delete that tweet. If you're trying to get a draft here some April, do not let anybody know that we can get these kind of snowstorms in April.
Yeah, this is unusual.
So just be aware, Packers.
Hey, Lambeau Field, the atrium and all that, all closed on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah,
that's
amazing. Very rare.
I mean, you know the Packers. They want to get people in there, and they want to make some money on tours and all that, and for the restaurant and people in that atrium. They want to get people in there. And it was closed on Saturday. That's how bad the weather was.
Chuck and Winkler were served up by Perkins. You can keep tweeting us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. So Charles was the guy who tweeted in, said he had to work during the playoff game yesterday. Bucks do lose that game. And now is the time to make adjustments from game one to game two. What adjustments do you want to see the Bucks make from game one to game two so that the Bucks can still win this series? Because it was a close game yesterday. The series could be very, very tight, but I think they got to win game two to make that happen. 799-1250, talking Bucks Celtics with you guys on the Fan.
Who stood out last night for the Bucks? Let's get the Chili's MVB from last night's Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Dial 799-1250, and you could win free food from Chili's. Chili's, famous for burgers, ribs, fajitas, and margaritas. This is Chuck and Winkler on the only station Bucks fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bucks fall 113-107. Who is the Chili's MVB despite the loss? Let's go out to Joey in St. Francis. Who was the MVB, Joey?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Was it Giannis?
Chili's MVB of the game in a Bucks Game 1 loss. It wasn't because of Giannis. 35 points, 13 rebounds, and 7 assists. He is your Chili's MVB.
Joey, congrats. 799-1250 as we talk about adjustments going in from Game 1 to Game 2. The Bucks have the Celtics tomorrow night. Joey, you're first up, man. I mean, you won the MVB, so you might as well have the floor. What are you thinking heading into game two?
Hey, I want to thank you there for the food. I appreciate that. I haven't had your big breakfast yet.
Oh, you got to go get that too.
Yeah, I could handle it. You know, the size of me, you see me there at the toy drive, which is a great thing that you guys do every year. I think it's fantastic. I like to see Jabari Parker start. He's getting a bad rap. He's getting a total bad rap here. You know, there's a such thing too, Bart, is passing the ball to him some. He's on the baseline lot. And I don't even know, it's Middleton and Bledsoe. When they're going to the hoop a lot of times, they don't pass off. They don't go to the baseline.
Well, Bledsoe, when he's going to the hoop, yeah, he ain't dishing off. He's got his eyes on the hoop. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, okay, if you want Jabari to start in place of who?
Who do you want Jabari to start in front of?
I guess in front of Snell.
Snell? Okay, that seems to be the, I mean, who else are you going to, unless you go crazy. And Joey, thanks for the call. Congrats. Stick on the phone.
I mean,
we'll get your info.
Parker's a better player. Now, the problem here is Snell guards their best perimeter guy. And you'd have to, you know, Jabari can't do that. You'd lose a lot with the, now with Snell, he's so bankrupt offensively. You'd have, I don't think the lineup of Bledsoe, Parker, Middleton, Giannis, and Henson. Boy, defensively, that's not the best, that's for sure.
I think you give, I mean, you could, why not roll with it one time? Why didn't they roll with it, you know, in April, before the playoffs, or even March? You never start Jabari unless Giannis is hurt.
Well,
I mean, you should have been working on some stuff.
Who's your two guard there in that five if you're going to do that?
How about you start Bledsoe?
Okay.
How about, no, Bledsoe can be a six man.
So you take Bledsoe out, put Brogdon in a starting lineup?
Yeah.
I would say I'd be good with that, but the Bucks won't be. You know, the Bledsoe's, they got him, he's going to start. You know, Bledsoe, I think, yeah, Brogdon clearly outplayed him yesterday. And those two guys were on the floor at the same time at times yesterday. But how about just give Parker, at least give Parker some more minutes?
Do you like when they went Giannis at the five that they finally went to for a stretch?
Yeah. You know, I mean, he can't guard Horford.
Well, he can, but just like he's too aggressive. That's why he got in the foul trouble. He's just swatting at him the entire time.
Well, but he can't guard. I mean, he's frustrated by Hart. Horford is, he's a tough guard for Giannis, and that's the problem. And if he's going to guard Horford, he's getting foul trouble, and the Bucks don't need that. That's a matchup problem for the Bucks.
So would you start Zeller?
In place of who?
That would be in place of Henson. Henson played okay, though, yesterday.
37 minutes.
I mean, he took some bad shots.
I mean, I think anytime Henson shoots, it's a bad shot from, in my book, unless it's right underneath the rim.
But he played some good D.
Yeah. Still got pushed around a little bit.
Well, yeah.
Could have got his hand on some
will.
More ball. I mean, he wasn't a prob yesterday, though. It wasn't. I didn't look at Henson being the, you know, whatever I get from Henson offensively is a bonus. I just don't want him to hurt you offensively. But, you know, the problems yesterday were Snell offensively, Bledsoe offensively in many different ways. And, you know, the Jabari Parker didn't give him much.
Owen is in Oak Creek. Owen, game one, they lose. Game two, they need to win. What should they be changing up here?
Owen.
They got to limit their turnovers, guys. They turned the ball over way too many times yesterday. And the Celtics looked like they played a pretty decent game yesterday. And the Bucks, they did not. So if the Bucks limit turnovers, they can win the series in six. Bucks in six all the way, guys.
Yeah. Bucks got down by 12 points. Bucks did not finish off that first quarter very well.
Bucks in six always. That's for the culture.
But then they rebounded and played a great second quarter. But this is one of those games, too, where if you saw the final 5 minutes of this game, that's all you needed to see.
799-1250, more of your calls, adjustments you want to see going in to game two. Hey, we just had a caller mention the Bart's Bigger Breakfast. It has been extended through April 30th. A lot of people did go out this weekend. I think West Dallas might have sold 23 of them on Saturday. I mean, it's a good deal. For $7.99, you get three eggs, three pieces of bacon, three sausages, hash browns, two pancakes, and two pieces of French toast. Just $7.99 at any greater Milwaukee area Perkins. Throughout southeast Wisconsin, $7.99 for all that food. Bart's Bigger Breakfast is available at Perkins through the 30th of the month. So you got a couple more weekends. I had a guy tweet me yesterday. He went yesterday. They were telling you to stay off the roads unless you had a good reason. I think that would have qualified as a good reason. And if you go to Perkins today, it's a Pie Society Monday. Free slice of pie after 11 o'clock. 414-799-1250. Chuck and Winkler, adjustments to be made in game two. More from you guys next.
We had hustle plays too. I don't want to take any of that out of context. We played well and we played hard. And, you know, that's what this series is going to be. Both teams fighting, and each little play will matter.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Bucks lose game one on a real tough one. They had the chance. They had the shot, Chris Middleton. An amazing shot where I think it got spread around the internet a little bit that Marcus Johnson out Gus Johnson, Goat Johnson, Gus Johnson. Here's the highlight, Fox Sports Wisconsin.
Here's Antetokounmpo. Looking. Middleton! Oh! Yo! Yo!
Oh! Chris Middleton! What a shot!
Marcus Johnson going just as crazy.
Yeah, I can't tell. You can't tell if that was Gus or Marcus screaming.
The initial one is for sure Marcus. And then you're right. I can't tell if that was Marcus again or if Gus was trying to out Marcus, who had just out-gussed Gus.
Here's Antetokounmpo. Looking. Middleton!
Oh! Yo! Yo! Oh! Chris Middleton! What a shot!
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you know, there was a guy. There were a couple of guys flashing, you know, inside the arc, the 3-point line. I was like, Giannis better not be passing to any of those guys because you're not going to have a time. I mean, that doesn't do you any good.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to go to Terry.
I was like, geez, don't pass to him. And then he found Middleton, and now a little breakdown by Boston too, because I don't know why you would be guarding anybody in the, you know, inside the arc, because they don't have time to take a dribble and pop back and shoot a three, step back. So that was catch and shoot all the way. And even that almost didn't work.
Well, Boston defends it very well. I mean, they just sat on the arc.
But they didn't defend Middleton.
They defended the arc and not the half-court line.
Middleton got open for a 35-footer. So, God, it would have been great to win that game. You know, and come in, and then, you know, you're playing with house money Tuesday night in Boston. Win or lose, then you're coming back to Milwaukee, still have home, you know, stealing that first game, you got home court advantage.
Yeah, see, the thing with these series is that they start two games with the better seed. You just want to win one of those if you're the road team. So you lose the first game, but win the second, you feel just as good as you win the first but lose the second. You just want to split that series and get home with a victory. Bucks had a chance to do it yesterday, weren't able to. They'll get another crack tomorrow night.
Well, George Karl always said, a series doesn't start until you win on another team's home court.
Right.
And if the Bucks could do that tomorrow night, then they would accomplish what they needed to do. Because you just, like you said, win one of those two games. But if you'd have won yesterday, you're forcing Boston to win Tuesday night. Because they don't want to come back tomorrow. I mean, they've won it before down 0-2, like last year we said against the Bulls. But they don't want to come back here 0-2. And face this crowd, and that place would be roaring on Friday night. But either way, if the Bucks win tomorrow night, mission accomplished.
You yeah, all those, is well.
Yes, mission accomplished. You would have liked to have won both, but hey, if you get one of those games coming back to the Bradley Center, all good. All good. Now, getting down 0-2, going to be tough, but still, I think they can get game two. I like to think they can get game two based on, you know, clean up a few things from the turnovers and some of the poor play of some of those guys and go out there. And I don't think some of those players from Boston are going to have as strong a game either in game two.
414-799-1250.
I'd be shocked if the Bucks got blown out tomorrow night.
Brian's in Shorewood. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. That final play of the game where Rozier hit the three to take the lead with a half a second to go, that defense by Bledsoe was pathetic. He didn't. He just kind of stood there, looked at him, and when Rozier sat back behind the line, Bledsoe just put his hands on his hips, kind of turned around in the paint, faced the basket, and like banked on him missing it. It was poor defense. I mean, you know, if you get up in his face, it may not have hit it.
See, I thought I'd be the only one. I thought I was going to be the only one complaining about that today. That Bledsoe's lack of effort after he got faked out of his shoes, because at least he might. He's not going to get a hand in his face, but at least you could go low on him and or whatever.
I just don't see that. I mean, I don't know what you guys feel, but But my opinion, that phrase, fear the deer, is just ridiculous. Nobody fears the Bucs. And second of all, the defense is just terrible at crunch time. And I just don't think they're going to go anywhere with Bledsoe at the point. The guy is terrible. He can't shoot. I mean, when he releases the ball, it seems like it's off center a half foot before it leaves his hand. And with a point guard that doesn't play defense, you know, he has a game here and there where he drives to the paint. But consistently, he's a fraud. No wonder Phoenix didn't want him. And, you know, as far as I think, the Bucks are going to go nowhere as long as he's at the point until they shore up their defense. And I feel sorry for Prunty taking all the blame because he can only put him in position. But if Bledsoe and those guys don't want to play after par, there's nothing else they can do. I mean, it's just terrible.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call. I just was disappointed that Bledsoe had given up. And I'm not saying you're going to alter that shot, but if you got faked out on the step back, least you could do is run at him and make it a little more difficult of a shot than a wide open look that Rozier got. I mean, he was not even contested at all.
799-1250. Bledsoe's a really good point guard for this team if you eliminate his obsession with shooting the ball before they even develop a play at all.
Shooting bad shots.
And how many times does he shoot the basketball and he's the only one that touches it on that possession?
I know. It's been since he's got
there. How has that not been corrected?
I know. It's been with Kidd and now Prunty. He's got the green light. It feels, I just feel he's got the green light wherever he is on the court, Bart. He's got the green light to shoot. I don't think that should be the case with Bledsoe.
Brian also said he does not like the Fear the Deer slogan. Well, they will be wearing these Fear the Deer jerseys throughout the playoffs. Game 3, there's a Fear the Deer themed t-shirt giveaway. Same with Game 4. This ownership group, they love Fear the Deer more than anything else, I think, about this Bucks investment they made.
Yeah.
They love that phrase so much that I mean, you're just going to have to live with it.
Oh, but Edens was interviewed on the broadcast yesterday.
I watched TNT.
Okay. I had to switch back to TNT because my feed, Fox Sports Wisconsin, went out for about 45 minutes of both the Brewers and Bucks.
Wow.
And Charter in Lamira. Yeah, nobody did anything about it. Thank goodness the game was on TNT, and then I put the Brewer game on my app.
799-1250, adjustments from game 1 to game 2. We want your thoughts next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.